Christ living, dying, let me breathe. My strength, my soul, as from this dream, that he who lives to be my King once died to be my Savior. I saw the giant of prayerless days upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbended knee. No longer in the wilderness I say, and so I cry, I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flows, where the grapes of Escal grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that the Lord has given me. There was a giant of laziness who said I wouldn't go and witness for the one who set me free. I'll come from out the wilderness, I'll witness, now I know, I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escal grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that the Lord has given me. Let every giant of distress and unbelief and sin get ready to take it, for you see, I've come from out the wilderness, I know I'm going to win. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escal grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that the Lord has given me. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will be known. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Good to see you here this morning. We got a good group this morning. I just want to mention we do have some new faces here, and we want to welcome you. We want to tell you how much we appreciate you coming and being with us on this Sunday morning. And if you're a first-time visitor, One of our ushers is going to probably give you a packet, and we ask that you'll take the card in that packet and drop it. We're not passing a plate right now because of the corona, but there are plates in the very back of the auditorium, or you can leave it in your seat, and that'll be fine. We'll get it that way, but we're glad you're here this morning. We've got a special guest. I'll be introducing him in just a few moments, but nonetheless, we want to go ahead and get started and start out with a word of prayer. And I want to just ask, let me see, does anybody around here want to pray? Blake, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Amen. Think you may be seated at this time. The choir has a special.
To begin.
word of prayer. Lord, we love you today, and God, we're grateful for your blessings. We're grateful for what you did for us on the cross. And God, the answers to all of the ills of our society is not in government, but it's at the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, today I pray that you'd be with our preacher today. I pray that you'd use Brother Chris in a very powerful way today. And God, I ask you, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
See him there, the great I am, a crown of thorns upon his head, the Father's heart displayed for us. Oh God, we thank you for the cross lifted up on Calvary's hill. We cursed your name and even still you bore our shame and paid the cost. Oh God, we thank you for the cross. Behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. We sing your praise, endless hallelujah to your holy name. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. Sacrifice for every sin, our Savior died, the Lord of life, can't be contained. Our God has risen from the grave. Oh, our God has risen from the grave. Behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forever, Lord. The victory is yours. We sing your praise, hallelujah to your holy name. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. When the age of death is done, we'll see your face bright as the sun. We'll bow before the King of Kings. Oh God, forever we will sing.
Here we go, really lift it up this morning.
Behold the story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. We sing your praise, endless hallelujah to your holy.
We're going to do things a little bit different now, so why don't y'all go ahead and be seated. Over the course of the last few years, many of you will know that we've kind of tried to get involved with Texas Boys Ranch in the sense of, you know, trying to contribute to their ministry there with all the young men and women that are being placed out there. And it's been a really fulfilling thing for us in our church. We've been blessed to be a part of it. It's not just been monetarily. We've been able to get them quite a bit of beef over the last couple of years of late. The Walton family here helped us with get quite a bit more beef to these guys, and again we've had some drives and raised some various things that they were in need of, and so it's just been a good deal. It's been something that has been a blessing to me and us as a church. So with that being said, I'm going to be introducing. I'm just going to go ahead and introduce Michael Noodleman, and he is a representative of Texas Boys Ranch. Michael comes by periodically, sees David or I, and we talk about this, that, and the other, find out what some of the needs are. And so first of all, we're going to show a quick video clip. And then Michael's just got a few things to say to us for a few moments, and then we'll get right to the preaching, okay? So let's go ahead and start there.
For every dark sunset, there's a new sunrise just over the hill. Many children are facing their darkest days. For these children, Texas Boys Ranch is here to give them hope for a brighter tomorrow. Since 1975, Texas Boys Ranch has been providing a place of security and comfort for neglected or abused children, showing them love and acceptance to mend their little broken hearts. Texas Boys Ranch is a working ranch where children experience the beauty of God's creations and feel the joy of being surrounded by life. Whether they need spiritual guidance, counseling, tutoring, or other specialized services, hurting children receive the best care to help heal their hearts, minds, and bodies. With both foster care and adoption services, the ranch reunites children with healthy and loving families to care for them in their homes. Not only do foster families shelter and feed the children, they give them what might be their first look at a loving family who respects and cares for each other. And when a child needs emergency shelter in a time of turmoil or abuse, the Texas Boys Ranch Emergency Children's Shelter provides short-term care. At the shelter, they can feel safe and secure and be further evaluated until more permanent arrangements can be made for them. You can help a child transform their troubled life into one full of love, happiness, and purpose. Contact us today to discover the many ways you can make a difference in the lives of precious children.
Good morning, church. I don't know who put that picture up there. That's 25 pounds ago. So anyway, and not in a good way. My name is Michael Noodleman, and I work for Texas Boys Ranch. I am the church and donor relations officer, and I felt very compelled during the Christmas time to come by here, and I really wanted to say thank you. That's my whole purpose today. I'm going to show my age, and everyone out here, be honest. How many of y'all remember the book, The Berenstain Bears? Raise your hand. Yeah, so I'm really showing my age, right? How many of y'all remember the very specific book, The Berenstain Bears and the Case of the Gimmies? Anybody remember that one? Yep, okay, good. All right. Well, I don't ever want Texas Boys Ranch to make it look like we have the Case of the Gimmies. I want us to show how thankful we are for y'all. We don't operate without churches like y'all. We don't. That's the truth. Now, I want to clarify some things that maybe might be some misnomers about Texas Boys Ranch. We're not connected to any other ranch in Texas. We are local. So if you think we're a part of another ranch in Amarillo or down in San Angelo, we're not. We're not connected to any church. We are not connected to Children's Home of Lubbock. We are our own separate 501c3. Our name is Texas Boys Ranch, but we've been taking in girls since 2010. We are going to be going through a name change this year. It was supposed to happen in 2020. Well, we all want to forget 2020, don't we? So, we are changing the name. Now, everyone here can keep a secret, right? It's just us, right? So, we're going to change the name to, get this, it's real creative. I mean, I never thought that we were this creative at Texas Boys Ranch. It's going to be Texas Girls and Boys Ranch. Woo, marketing, right? Now, I really wanted to say thank you. But the other thing I want you to do is come out and see us. We're an open ranch. We have a gate, but it doesn't close. It's important for donors, which all of y'all are, to come out and see what we're doing. See what you're giving to. Because the neglect and abuse of children in West Texas is the worst it's ever been. My wife and I were house parents for 7 years at a different children's home in Amarillo. And there were times when our cottages, we can have up to 8 in our cottage when we were house parents. There were times when our numbers got low. We got down to 6 or 5. So, hey, maybe things were getting a little better. That's not happening now. We're at max capacity. We're serving 100 children between the ranch, foster to adopt, and our shelter. One in, one out. That's what we're basically doing right now. And we're not just serving kids from within Loop 289. We're serving kids in Slayton, in Brownfield, in Farwell, in Muleshoe. Okay? We serve the immediate 41 counties surrounding Lubbock County. That's a lot of kids. It's a lot of children with neglect and abuse. And our average age right now is 7. 2 Christmases ago, we had 4 infants put in our shelter on Christmas Eve. We don't work. We don't operate without you. And I just wanted to say thank you. I really appreciate y'all. Thank you for helping our girls and boys. But we need your continued love and support so we can do our mission. And our mission is sharing Jesus, healing hearts, and transforming lives. Thank you, church. I appreciate y'all.
And I want to thank Michael for being a part of, allowing us to be a part of this along the way. Like I say, it's been over the last two or couple of years that we've gotten connected, and it's a worthy, I can't think of any more worthy ministry here locally than to try to help these children's lives. If you've ever experienced the loneliness and the abandonment of having a mom and a dad just leave you, you know what I'm talking about, and you know how painful it can be, and we're helping with that. And so I thank each one of you, myself, for being a part of each drive and each contribution that we make to the ranch. Okay, let me pray quickly before we get to our sermon. Father, thank you for the time you've given us together, and I'm asking Holy Spirit now for you to anoint me. Allow me, Lord, to communicate with liberty, with freedom, the ability to get across to your people the message that you've given me. Add to, detract, anything you want. I will cooperate with you, Holy Spirit. We ask your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'll turn in your Bible to Psalm 23, and believe it or not, we're right on time, so you're not going to get out of here any later today. Psalms 23, if we could name one particular text in the Bible that is the most commonly known throughout the world, it would likely be the 23rd Psalm. It's something that's read at funerals and gravesides and at the bedside of the sick and the dying. Many people have this psalm memorized. It was one of my first memory verses or text early on in my Christianity. People are able to recite it verbatim when they're going through trial and difficulty. It was written nearly 3 millennia ago by King David. But yet it's still just as effective today as it was then in providing comfort for God's people. In 6 short verses that make up this psalm, there is a treasure of wisdom. But I want to do something different with this psalm this morning, something that may be different from anything you've ever heard, and it's certainly, I think, something that will be helpful for the message that I want to present. There's a message today that I want to present that I think everyone this day and time needs to hear. 2020 has been a bad year, okay? We know that. We all agree. There's been a lot of bad situations throughout the 2020. 2021 is already not shaping up to be any better, okay? Obviously, we were looking like it had some promising potential for the coronavirus and dealing with that. But outside of that, it's not looking good in a lot of ways, okay? And so we have to learn to deal. We have to learn to cope with a situation of where we see no end to the chaos, the division, all the various disturbing things that we see in our life. There's no end to it now at this point, folks. Don't mean to be negative, but we're past the point of return. As far as having a society where we can enjoy any kind of peace and tranquility, I just do not see it happening. Now, that statement may come across as negative or pessimistic. I may be seeming to paint a very bleak picture, and you may disagree. You may see it differently. You may see it much brighter than I do. And if you do, I'm glad for you that you see it that way. But based upon the facts that we have before us, I truly believe we will never again experience a less stressful society on this earth. I'm going to sound like a broken record with some of the things that I share with you, because I've repeated these things many times over the years, but especially over the last year. But as a pastor, I must declare the message that God gives to me, and I must equip the people that God has placed under my care as a shepherd. And I believe that we're at a point in our society that if we don't, as Christians, don't learn to understand what it takes to survive emotionally and mentally, that we're going to be a defeated bunch, okay? I'm not a negative person. You know that. I rarely allow the world to get me down. I believe to a great extent I'm able to rise above the mire, if you will, that surrounds us. But I'm also a realist. And I believe the first step to victory over any situation is seeing it as it is and calling it like it is. So the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6, I told you to go to Psalms 23, so you just stay put right there. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness and high places." This verse is often misquoted by you and I by saying, we often say, rulers of darkness of this world. But it actually says, rulers of the darkness of this world. That puts it in a different light. It implies that there's not just some darkness here and there in our world, but there is actually a darkness that permeates the world. That's bad news, because we live in the world, right? That's bad news. The question is, how do we overcome that darkness? The short answer to that is, we already have, through Jesus Christ. Let me read to you out of 1 Thessalonians 5:5. He says, "Ye are the children of light." He's talking to you and I. "You are the children of light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of the darkness." And so we have already, through Christ Jesus, become victorious over the darkness of this world. From an eternal standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, Jesus has won the victory for us, okay? And because that, what he's done, then we also have the what's needed to overcome this darkness in a practical sense. But the question is, do we get that done? Do we overcome the darkness in a everyday sense of the word? The answer to that for most people is no, we don't. And so that's the reason I'm going to preach this sermon this morning. So I want to use Psalms 23 as an outline, okay? I'm not going to approach it from a theological standpoint, okay? So just don't when I say something, say, well, that's not what that means. I'm using it as an outline to communicate this message of how to become victorious over the darkness around us, over the stresses of life. And so I started this message thinking, well, this is what I'll preach this week. And I didn't get very far till I realized I can't even get near through it in one message. So we'll definitely be going back here in this direction next week, and perhaps if even a third week. We'll see. Let's begin. Verse 1, Psalms chapter 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I don't know of any Christian that don't know the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Okay? That's our first step if we're going to overcome the darkness. If we're going to overcome the stresses of this life, the first step is knowing that we belong to Jesus. Knowing that we are born again. Folks, we got to face it, but churches all across the land have people sitting in the pews that aren't Christians. They have a biblical worldview. They say they're Christians, and in most cases think they're Christians, but in truth, they've never been truly born again. And they don't have that life-changing personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And until that happens in a person's life, until we experience a real biblical salvation, we're never going to know the light. And not knowing the light means not walking in the light. We have recently, praise God, had a number of people saved. But we've had recently three church members realize that they weren't truly born again. They didn't have the assurance of faith or salvation that they needed, and they did something about it. They came and talked to me, and we went through the Word of God of what true salvation is, and they were truly born again, and we've had that experience many times over the course of the years. My wife, and she don't mind me telling you this, and I've told you many times before, she had that experience. She was going through the motions. She was doing church stuff. She was back home teaching a Bible study on a regular basis, but she came to the realization that she wasn't truly regenerated. She didn't truly know what she was doing when she first went through that process, and she wanted to do something about it. And because she did, she experienced true life-changing salvation and has never looked back. So if you don't know the shepherd, you will never experience a victorious life. Do something about it. If God has dealt with your heart, you don't have the assurance of salvation, come talk to me. And don't worry about what people are going to think. Don't worry about what it's going to look like to others. This church and the people of God will rejoice in your decision, and we'll celebrate the baptism that follows, and we will be elated at seeing this happen in your life. So the first step is, if we're going to overcome the darkness, we're going to overcome these stresses that surround us, we got to know the Lord for sure. We got to know the shepherd. Now, the second step, I want you to notice, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The second step is you and I have to learn contentment. I told you this was going to be practical and not theological, but one of our big problems in our lives as Christians in America is we're always wanting. Want, want, want. We're addicted to things. We're addicted to possessions. We want this. We want that. We want the other. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, beware of covetousness, but for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesses. He said, that's not what life is all about. Things are not going to give us the joy that we're looking for. But I tell you what, things, abundance and clutter of things will give us. It'll give us a, what I call a dull headache. You ever have a dull headache? It's one you wake up with, and it's just, it's not bad enough to shut you down, but it just kind of nags at you throughout the day and or night, and it just kind of hangs on. It's just always right there. That's kind of like things do to us. I'm preaching to the choir on this one, folks, because the more stuff I have, the more complex my life becomes, the less relaxing, enjoyable, serene time I have in my life. It's always nagging on my mind, all this stuff, all this that needs to be tended on. There's always that dull nagging of my mind. And it's it all the more stuff we have, it requires time. It requires resources. It requires responsibility. And those things build up. So I give you an acronym that you probably heard before, there's a little doubt, but I'm going to give you a KISS, okay? The acronym is KISS. You know what it means, keep it simple, stupid, okay? Remember that. That's words to live by, and I tell you, the more I've learned to live by that, the more enjoyable and restful my life is. Words to live by is KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Be content with the necessary things of life. Sure, splurge once in a while and enjoy a luxury. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't build a little cluttered kingdom of things and coveting, wanting more and more. They will just, the more consistent we want things, then the more consistent we will acquire things, and then the more consistent we will be stressed out. It's just the way it is. So we have to be content. The third thing, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The third step, if we're going to overcome the stresses of this world, is we've got to get some rest. I can just, reading this, I can just picture David, the psalmist, laid back midday on the side of a hill on one elbow, surrounded by the sheep that he's shepherding. Maybe they've laid down midday and everything's just kind of quiet and serene and he's taken in the scenes. We don't do that anymore. Friends, we live in an age where things never slow down. Never. It's night and day. There is so much stimulus thrown at us all the time. Gadgets that keep our attention and people, we let people bog us down with junk. We have so much information being thrown at us. We just don't get, I'm not talking about adequate sleep. That's a gimme. We need adequate sleep at night, okay? No question. That's important. But I'm talking about just letting our minds and our emotions rest. During some awake hours, have you ever just laid down and got you a little nap, or maybe on your easy chair or on the couch or sitting down on a bucket outside somewhere where it's quiet and just getting still for a few minutes where it's just quiet and serene and we don't have something like this going on or like this in front of us, but it's just quiet? How often do you read yourself to sleep at night? Just chilling. The house is in total silence. There's no gadgets in front of us, no voices blaring from the TV or wherever. We're just silent, just kind of getting still and refreshing ourselves. Friends, no wonder we're stressed out all the time. We have information screaming at us when we're just driving down the road. Billboards, signs, Everything's just throwing information at us, and just driving to work and from work, or taking the kids to school, or bringing them home, or taking them to baseball practice. And that's not enough. You can't even stop and get gas at a filling station without what they call GSTV. You notice it? Gas station TV. You got a gas pump with a screen on both sides. So it's going to chatter at you when you're getting a brand new tank of diesel. I often thought, what would happen and how great it would be if those gas pumps just put some encouraging scripture up there. What a difference it would make in people's day. How it would actually affect people. But instead we hear this. Now for the word of the day. Futz. This is the word futz. It means to waste time and busy oneself aimlessly. Well, congratulations, Mr. Gas Pump. You've just succeeded at futz. F-U-T-Z. You've just wasted my time and aimlessly kept me busy. Folks, we have to have times of stillness in our life. Boy, I've gotten better at this as I've aged. And, of course, living where we live now, I've gotten so much better at this. But no one's going to do it for us. We have to purposely in our lives decide that we're going to find some green pastures and lay down, so to speak. We're going to get still. We're going to take some time to relax. And that leads me to the next step. He said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Folks, we must avoid the turbulence of life. Imagine you're standing by a raging river. White water rapids are just roaring by you continuously. You don't dare step into that for fear of being washed away. You don't want to fall into that. It's captivating to watch, but it doesn't have any kind of a calming effect to it, does it? On the other hand, imagine walking up to still waters, a beautiful pond or a beautiful lake that just kind of looks like glass across there because everything is so still. And the stillness of that lake allows you to hear the whistling of the birds and the singing of the locust. And you can even wade out into that still water and feel safe in doing so. And it remains calm with the exception of the ripples that are caused by your steps. It's also captivating. But the difference in those still waters, that lake and that roaring river, is one has a calming effect and the other doesn't. You see, the lake would make us calm, serene, and comfortable standing there. What am I driving at with this analogy? We have a choice of what kind of waters we walk beside. We have a choice whether we want to walk by the turbulent waters in life or the still waters of life. This is a turbulent world. This is a chaotic, disturbing world that we live in. All around us is division and hatred and anger and resentment and frightening news and information and foolish and careless people, frustrated Americans, crooked politics and crooked politicians. Can anybody say amen, please? Corruption, immorality, scandal. I could go on and on and on. This is what's all around us. And it will run us nuts. It will absolutely cause us to go nuts if we let it. It will steal our joy. It will steal our peace and tranquility and serenity. But we have a choice. We have a choice in how much exposure we allow ourselves to be around that turbulence. We can turn the TV off, friends. We can silence the radio. We don't have to click on those headlines. We don't have to read the articles and the junk. We don't have to feed on social media. We don't have to watch movies and documentaries and read articles and books that are filled with violence and filled with bad news and tragic information. And folks, what I'm saying to you may seem bizarre, and you may say, man, are you in the 21st century? Yes, I am. I'm telling you, this is doable. It can change the whole state of our emotions and mindset. Because we choose whether we're going to take in the turbulence or whether we're going to walk beside the still waters. We can say, today, I'm not going to expose myself to the junk. I'm going to avoid oh so-and-so because he's always so negative. He's always ranting. He's always complaining about politics and Washington and these young kids and the way the world is going and social issues. I'm just going to kind of stay away from him today. I don't need that turbulence. We can say, I'm going to turn off Fox News, or I'm going to turn off CNN, whichever flavor you happen to be, that's your news station. I can turn them off. I don't have to hear how bad the other side is all the time and how unjust things are towards my side. I don't have to listen to that, whether it's true or not. I just don't have to hear that. Psalms 37, verse 1 says this, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Don't you think that's exactly what we're doing when we read or take in the media about how bad the other side is doing? Is we're fretting ourselves over evildoers. The Bible says, fret not thyself. We allow ourselves to get all worked up over all the wrong that's around us. It's wrong, yeah. But we're fretting over evildoers. Down further in that 37 Psalm in verse 7, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You see, God is still in control. God hasn't lost sight of the situation. It's just a matter of time before he comes and sets the record straight. It goes on in verse 9 of the same chapter, says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. That's you and I. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. God says, I'll set the record straight. So for you and I, let them fuss, let them fight, let them corrupt, let them divide. We can't stop them anyway. We can vote, but we can also make ourselves better people, more effective Christians by choosing to walk beside the still waters. Refusing to take in the turbulent waters of this world. He goes on further in verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and watch this, shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. What's that saying? You and I can have peace in all this darkness and turbulence. But the only way we can delight ourselves in the abundance of peace is if we feed ourselves peaceful things. Why don't you try this, what I'm telling you, just for a short time. If it don't work for you, fine. But make up your mind today, maybe for a week perhaps, I'm going to consciously avoid the turbulence of this world. Avoid the headlines, avoid the news, avoid the rhetoric of the guy down at the water cooler that's always running his head. Avoid whoever in your life is always bringing the negative. Turn off Bookface and Snapgram and Instant Chat. Find some wholesome TV show to watch. Read some good books, something that has good content. Actually, personally, I watch Andy Griffith, Gunsmoke. Everybody Loves Raymond. We both watch that together. Just wholesome stuff. Stuff that'll make you laugh. Stuff that's not going to contaminate your mind. Trish and I'll often play a couple of games of skip bow at night. I beat the cornbread out of her every time. And I like that. Just something that's still and not turbulent. Try it. try reading yourself to sleep. Go to bed earlier than maybe an hour earlier and just have a good book, something that's got good information. And I read a lot of history, and a lot of people think, why are you so into history? There's a whole lot more of it than there was when I was in high school. And so I got to keep up. I read a lot of history. I love it. Gives my mind over to something and just, you know, I'm away from the turbulence. We got to find some still waters. Folks, I'm out of time. Here's what we got to do. We got to keep Jesus in office, okay? Uncle Joe and Aunt Kamala's not going to fix things. We got to keep Jesus in office. Don't worry yourself sick about the economy. There's going to be a recession. There's going to be a depression. There's going to be inflation. There's going to be deflation. There's going to be hyperinflation. Folks, I don't care if gravy goes to $1.50 a sop. We just won't dip our biscuits in so deep. We'll adjust. Everything's going to be all right, folks. It's going to be all right. But our sanity through it all will greatly depend upon the steps we take in our everyday life. Quickly, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you belong to Him? You got to know you belong to Him. You'll never have the peace. You'll never have the victory. Secondly, I shall not want. Quit cluttering your life with junk. Get rid of some stuff. Whatever it is, the stress of taking care of all this stuff, downsize if necessary. Or at least put a stop to gathering more. If it's stressing you out, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Take time to rest your mind and your emotions daily. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Avoid as best you can the turbulence of this world. Brother David, if you guys will come. I don't know what next week holds in this message because I've just gotten this far. Folks, we need this now more than ever. Young people, likely not. But if you're old enough to consciously think about the shape of our nation and the shape of this world, it is a dark and stressful place, and we need to learn to cope so we can be the best Christians that we can be. That's the most important role that's the most important hat that you and I wear, is that of being a Christian and the kind of Christian that we need to be. I'm going to ask you to stand. God spoke into your heart for any reason at all, you please come.